after a weekend of collective breath holding and 24 hours during which it's estimated that more than 300,000 Massachusetts residents temporarily lost unemployment coverage, the next wave of pandemic relief is here. President Trump has signed a massive spending bill that includes $900 billion in coronavirus relief, ending a five-day standoff that he started with Congress. The bill extends state unemployment coverage to 50 weeks. It boosts weekly unemployment benefits. It offers $600 stimulus checks for qualifying Americans, and it provides funding for food assistance programs and small businesses. Congressman Jim McGovern represents Massachusetts' 2nd Congressional District. He joined us less than an hour ago to talk about what the bill means for those who are vulnerable here in the Commonwealth. And I started by asking him if the weekend of waiting on the president left him sleepless or just frustrated.
Well, it was both, because you never know with Donald Trump what he's going to do. I mean, this was unnecessary drama that, by the way, hurt a lot of people in this country. As a result of his delay, more than 14 million people lost their extra unemployment benefits. That's just cruel. So, who knows? I'm not a psychiatrist, so I can't quite figure out how his brain works. But you just never know with him.
So there was no official line from the White House that you've received now that explains what the sort of the strategy was or what's been going on there?
Well, no. What was frustrating was the fact that we had a long negotiation that included his White House. Steve Mnuchin was his negotiator. In order to be able to move these bills forward to the House and Senate, you know, the House and the Senate and the White House had to agree on all of this stuff. So Secretary Mnuchin never raised any issues at all about things that the president didn't want in the bill, nor would he answer the question that Nancy Pelosi asked over and over and over again, which was, how high is the administration willing to go in terms of the direct payment benefits, what we call survival benefits? Because Democrats in the House for months have been asking for $2,000, and so we were trying to figure out how close could we get to that. And Mnuchin would never answer that question. And in fact, it became clear that, we were lucky to get $600 based on our conversations with the White House and with the Senate Majority Leader. You know, I've been on the bill since April for a $2,000 check. So none of the things that the president complained about were raised in the negotiation.
So let's talk about the bill itself. You talked about $600 stimulus checks for some qualifying Americans. State unemployment coverage is boosted to 50 weeks, although it did lapse for a day over the weekend while the bill went unsigned. But there's also in here some important measures in the omnibus spending bill that have been important to you, including increases in SNAP funding, emergency money for food banks, in fact, 6 months of funding for food banks, Meals on Wheels programs, et cetera. You know, we talked back in November when the Commonwealth hit 1 million hungry residents. Is this going to make a real dent? Is this meaningful money?
Yes, it is meaningful money. It's an increase of 15% in SNAP dollars, more money, as you said, for food banks and for Meals on Wheels. Look, we have 50 million people, 50 million people in this country who don't know where the next meal is going to come from. We had a hunger problem even before this pandemic, but it has gotten much, much, much worse. And the bottom line is the people who are now lining up at food banks or waiting for food boxes are people who, you know, only a few months ago never had to worry about any of this stuff. So, look, this is a real problem right now, and we need to respond to it. This will help, but we need to do much more. And I'm already in conversations with the transition team of the Biden administration to say, look, this has to be a priority of yours. And in fact, I've written to the president-elect and the vice president-elect that they ought to do a White House conference on food, nutrition, and hunger to figure out how we can come up with a comprehensive plan to end hunger in America once and for all.
You know, to that point, it's so interesting. You were really transparent with us when we spoke in November, and you said that you were ashamed that as a country we have not been able to make better progress against hunger. There is a new administration coming in. Do you feel optimistic that we are going to see real change on hunger policy with a Biden administration?
I hope so. I know President Elect Biden, and I know Vice President-elect Harris. They are good, decent, honorable, compassionate people. But I will tell you this: if we're not making progress, if they choose to, you know, backbench this issue, I'm going to be as critical of them as I am of this administration. Look, I mean, you know, the fact that in a land of plenty, like the United States of America, we have 50 million people who don't know where their next meal is going to come from. You know, we all should be ashamed, but especially those who are in elected office.
Let's go back to the bill for a minute. The House is going to vote on a measure to increase the $600 checks to $2,000 today. Conventional wisdom is that it is unlikely to pass a Republican Senate. I'm assuming you're going to, given what you've said, you're going to support the $2,000. I want to ask you, in all seriousness, is there a path, is there some creative path where that bill can be taken up with bipartisan agreement in both chambers and get signed by the President of the United States?
Yeah, well, I expect there to be a strong bipartisan vote in the House tonight. And all that we need from Mitch McConnell is for him to schedule this vote. And I believe if he schedules it, every Democrat will vote for it. And I think there'll be a handful of Republicans in the Senate that will vote for it to put it over the top. Now, if the president is sincere, he will then sign it into law.
What would get him to schedule it?
Maybe the president could pick up the phone and call him. The frustration that many of us had over this last week was, where the hell has the president been when it comes to increasing direct payments to people? But now that he's, you know, maybe there was a Christmas miracle or something, but now that he's finally seems to be on board, all he needs to do is pick up the phone and say to his good friend Mitch, who has done everything he's ever asked, you know, please schedule us for a vote. Let's have a debate and a vote on this, and let's see where the votes are. And I think, that we will win. I mean, look, this is the cost of incompetence and mismanagement. And we've had an incompetent president for 4 years who has done nothing, that has helped the average American out there. And he has mismanaged this whole pandemic. I mean, we are talking today, and there's 335,000 people that died. Millions, millions and millions of people have been infected. And we can't even get this president to endorse wearing a mask. So in any event, we're at a point now where he has now said he is for increased direct payments. Pick up the phone and call your friend Mitch.
So if that $2,000 were passed, we'd be talking about significantly more spending. The Republicans have said they're concerned about that spending. There is something unsettling about spending in this pandemic $1 trillion at a time. How are you thinking about that and about deficits?
Yeah, well, it's funny. The Republicans that are complaining about the deficit didn't complain about the deficit when they passed a tax cut that cost trillions and trillions of dollars that benefited millionaires and billionaires and big corporations. I mean, they don't complain about the deficit when they spend excessively on our defense.
Do you have any concerns about it?
Yeah, you know what? What I'm concerned about is saving this economy. And if we don't spend to help people get through this crisis, to help businesses and restaurants and others get through this crisis, we won't have an economy to save. And so, I think that the money we spend now really is stimulus, and it will come back to us. But we need to help these businesses and help these families get through this, so when it is over with, once everybody gets their vaccine, that we can see this economy rebound again. A good economy is the best way to lower our deficit.
So unemployment insurance will be set to expire again in March with this extension, to up to 50 weeks of qualification. There's a mental calendar that must be playing out for you now that vaccines are beginning to be distributed. I guess it's a two-part question. One, will we be able to get those extended in March if it's necessary to do so? And two, what is that mental calendar when we're no longer extending things like unemployment benefits, but instead moving back into real financial recovery from this pandemic?
Well, look, what we're doing today and what we did last week, I mean, really is a bridge, right? This is not what we passed last week is not everything that I think is necessary. It's not the bill I would have written, but it's a bridge until we get to the next administration, and hopefully we will build on it. I think we have to. I don't know when everybody will be vaccinated. I don't know when it will be safe for everybody to get back to work. I mean, hopefully we will start to get, you know, the public health crisis finally under control with an administration that actually believes in science. But until that happens, we will not see this economy rebound. You have to crush this virus in order to get this economy back on its feet again. And so whatever it takes. I mean, what we're faced with right now is similar to what we faced with the Great Depression. I mean, every aspect of our economy, every life in this country has been negatively impacted. You know, this is not a time for us to be timid. We need bold responses to get us through this so that we can, again, have an economy that can rebound, when we get to the end of all of this.
You know, President-elect Joe Biden has said, and you referred to this, that we got to do more, that this was a bill that needed to be passed, but that more needs to be done. What would be your priority in another bill that might, you know, come forward at the beginning of the new term?
Well, obviously, we're going to have to make sure that the most vulnerable in this country have what they need to get through this crisis, number one. Number two, we need additional resources for state and local governments. I mean, we have, you know, our cities and towns are dealing with, retrofitting schools to make them safer, supporting our first responders. We need to make sure that they are whole on this. We need to make sure that there's enough money to make sure that everybody can get the vaccine, and it should be free for everybody. And I think those are the places that I would prioritize. I would also say that we also need to get about the business of rebuilding this country and planning for when this virus is behind us. We need an infrastructure bill, to rebuild everything from our roads, bridges, water and sewer systems to our rail systems. We need to deal with the climate crisis, which will create a whole bunch of new jobs. We need to make our healthcare system better. And we also need to address the disparities in our healthcare system that have been so apparent in the face of this virus. We need to do a better job. I mean, there are people who are being left behind. Who are being left behind even before this pandemic, and we need to fix that, and that needs to be a priority as well.
Last question for you, Congressman. The House is going to vote today on overriding President Trump's veto of the military spending bill. Will that override happen?
I mean, I expect it will. I mean, the bill passed overwhelmingly. I have a problem with the amount of overall defense spending in that bill. But I voted against the bill, when it came before the House. But the bottom line is, my objection to the defense bill is different to why the president is vetoing it. The president is vetoing it for racist reasons. He doesn't like the fact that we're going to strip some of our military bases of these Confederate titles and of these racist titles. But it passed overwhelmingly, and I would expect that this veto will be overridden.
That's Congressman Jim McGovern, who represents the 2nd Congressional District. Thanks so much for joining us.
All the best. Be safe.